Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome in to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, WDAS AM, around the rest of the Delaware Valley. And download that iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to us anywhere crystal clear worldwide with this baseball team right now, this Fightin' Phils baseball team. You want all the attention that you can possibly get right here with us on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, and I'm broadcasting to you live from our studios in Ballard-Kenwood, Pennsylvania, while my esteemed colleague Greg Murphy is out in St. Louis with our Fightin' Phils. And listen, this isn't the hear all end all of this series. They actually have a wraparound series, a weird wraparound 4-game set out there in St. Louis. Without further ado, though, my co-host Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph? How you feeling today?
I'm doing good, Sack. And how about if I pull this one, because it's been a while. Good morning, St. Louis, as well, because that's where I am stationed right now, at Busch Stadium. Beautiful ballpark. Great city to watch baseball. Great fans here. Really good team. And things are going well for the Phils. So it's been a good trip so far, 2-0, and hopefully they can keep it up today. And as you mentioned, yeah, 4 games here in St. Louis. The Phils already 4-1 versus the Cardinals this season. So they've won the season series already, looking to win the series this week, and hopefully they can do it today.
Sounds great. And as you can hear, Murph is on the Hall of Fame level side of things. Right. It's what the equivalent is to what there is at Citizens Bank Park. Yeah. At some point, if you guys jump on our StreamYard with us and you want to check out, Murph will take you guys out to the ballpark, into the ballpark. That way you guys can see the Gateway Arch out there in center field. I saw your picture on Instagram. You still need to follow me on Instagram, by the way. I do post some good things from time to time. Yeah, you don't follow me. I don't know what this is. I thought this was a mutual relationship that we have together here. But the photo that you took from your hotel room was pretty cool. I mean, that's a view right there that you can only get when you're on the Phillies dime.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I could only follow two people, so I followed Sam and Slash. No offense. I will rectify that situation ASAP and follow. Yeah, a beautiful view from the hotel room of the arch, and I was able to snap a pretty good photo yesterday when the rain stopped. So it's a cool city. I've always liked St. Louis. It's hot here. And, we had some rain issues, but not today. Gorgeous day this afternoon.
Sean Henderson says, don't make me give you the bird again, Murph, as he did the other day. I can't believe he shot me that text message, by the way. But nonetheless, you've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo, because you do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family, no matter what the future holds, because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance can mean everything. Call State Farm agent Dave Bavuso at 856-740-5012 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. That's 856-740-5012. Dave is located in Williamstown, New Jersey. You can go see him over there as well. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. All right, let's go ahead. Let's give away some tickets here to start off the show. And these aren't just any tickets, Murph. These are for a great series that's coming up right after the All-Star break. And it's going to be right after our show that we do the Saturday leading up to this series, because we won't be on that Sunday. We're going to be down at the Ludlum Bar and Grill, so make sure you guys stop on down. Murph and I will be on from noon to 1. And I want to say, it's not just Murph and I. If you guys really want to have a great Bud Light Baseball Brunch, it wouldn't be a great Bud Light Baseball Brunch if Quimby didn't get himself involved. I'm sure he will be definitely in and out of that show for sure.
He'll chime in for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Green Legion Radio will be on right after that from 1 to 3 live at the Ludlum Bar and Grill. So make sure you guys come on down. 3 hours of live radio. You can hang out with Murph. You can get an autograph. You can get a photo with Murph. Or you can hang out with Eagles legendary wide receiver and maybe someday a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Irving Fryer, will be down there as well. Good friend of the program and actually a permanent member of the show moving forward. So make sure you guys stop on down and check us out. But first and foremost, two tickets for Phillies Braves Monday, July 25th at 7:05. In order to win, you must answer in the comment section of the Green Legion YouTube channel or the Green Legion Facebook page, which we are Facebook Live right now, or our Twitter handle at Green Legion. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, Murph, and I know we've done a lot of movie stuff this season. I'll tell you, watching a movie, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to take it right off the bat. And I don't know why, but it's probably the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie theater in my life when I saw Wedding Crashers. And okay. And I was watching it yesterday, just sitting, you know, at home, hanging out on the couch after lugging the kids through Hershey and Knoebels in the heat over the last few days. A nice little mini family vacation I had with my boys and my wife this week. And to sit there and think about if there was a movie that you could go back and watch for the first time over again, not knowing what the lines were, not knowing what the plot was, not knowing what the twists were going to be. If you could watch any movie from start to finish for the first time ever again, what movie would it be? Murph?
Yeah, so that's a cool question. It really is. And it got me thinking. And as usual, I came up with five. So I'll give you one.
Is this a legit five right now, or is this we're going to?
Oh, it's a legit five.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, I probably could have come up with 10, honestly. lots of choices for me. But I'll give you one now. And this is probably five. I haven't ranked them, but this would be five, I would think. But it's the same kind of vein as what you just said. I think the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie theater, and I didn't see Wedding Crashers in the movies. I saw it at home. So the hardest I ever laughed in the movie that I can remember two times, City Slickers, which was
a great movie.
That's not on the list.
That's a great movie.
I love that movie, but it's not on the list. But American Pie. I left there exhausted from laughing. I know. I'm sophomoric.
No. I'm worse.
Well, I am. But my Lord, that movie made me laugh. And when you laugh like that, you know, I was with a couple buddies and it's just a fun, genuinely, you know, great night. So to get to relive that would be on the list. But that's probably number five.
Number five. Okay. So I'm going to go away since I already said what my comedic one would be. Sixth Sense for me. Like I liked that movie a lot when I was younger, but seeing it for the first time and not knowing the whole time. And listen, this is no spoiler. You guys have had 23 years to see this movie. We all know he was dead the whole entire movie. So slash over
but
here.
But I didn't know until the very end. I was one of those people.
Right. But how cool would that be to see that movie from start to finish all over again? And
spoiler alert on my list.
It's on your list? Awesome.
On my list.
Sounds great. So right, so we knocked that one off of your list too. So there's three remaining on there. But I thought
this would be
great to see what others are going to say, cuz it could be anything. Any kind of movie. We've done the 80s, we've done the 90s, we've done the 2000s. We've done holiday movies. Whatever. To me, whatever you guys want to see again, we'll pick the best one and you'll get two tickets for Phillies Braves at 7:05 on
Braves.
Monday, July 25th. And we need to start winning games against those Braves and those Mets for the rest of the season, because this team, listen, you said it before. They own the season tiebreaker now over the Cardinals, but not just the Cardinals. They own it over the Padres and the Brewers as well. Teams that they're in this wild card race right now, they're coming off a big, big week, Murph. 5-1 record. They've won 8 of the last 10 series played with a chance to make it 9-11 with a win today or tomorrow in St. Louis. 25-10 under interim manager Rob Thompson, a season high 7 games over 500, and now 2 games up on the Cardinals for the third and final wildcard spot. Murph, talk to me. You're around this team. You know, you're in the clubhouse. You're on the field.
And one other, an additional thing, 3 straight shutouts.
Yeah.
3 straight shutouts against this Cardinals team, that hasn't happened since 2011, Phillies versus one team. That was the Padres back in 2011.
It's a shame they couldn't do it against the Cardinals in the playoffs that year.
That would have been nice.
It would have been nice.
But hey, you know what? That's where we are now, and we are firmly entrenched in the wild card spot with our eyes on the teams in front. You know, look, all of a sudden, I don't know what the exact number is. I think it's 7.5 out or 7 out in the division.
7. It was 6.5 after they won.
Only 4 behind the Braves. And, you know, again, for those that poo-pooed the season in May, it just goes to show you, you know, you just can't do that. You can't do that. It's a long season, and here we are. Now, could everything turn to poop? Yeah. But I really don't think it's going to. Not the way these guys, not the way the starting pitching is, and not the way these guys are playing with purpose right now.
The only place you'll hear in the city of Philadelphia for the great baseball talk and to hear about poop, you just got to come to Chris Sack and Greg Murphy. That's what we're here for on Bud Light Baseball Brunch for sure. But hey, I would be remiss, though. And listen, we're 9-4 without Bryce Harper, plus 30 run differential without him in the lineup. But congratulations to the injured Bryce Harper on becoming the first nationally designated hitter to be voted in by the fans for the All-Star game. Unfortunate that he won't be able to represent the Phillies in Hollywood next week in the All-Star game. However, there should be a few more Phillies being named in the National League All-Star team tonight, beginning with Zach Wheeler, who had two huge starts this week, Murph, against the Cardinals. His ERA is now down to 2.46, which is good for fifth in National League, and has a 1.53 ERA over his last 13 starts. You think Wainwright was sick of seeing Zach Wheeler this week? Because I know Cardinals fans were. And I not only is Zach Wheeler going to be named to that National League All-Star team tonight, I think if Aaron Nola and Kyle Schwarber aren't on that list either, it's a joke of a list, if you ask me.
I would agree with you, although I don't think Nola's going to make it, because I think it's going to become a numbers game. I hope I'm wrong.
Just because each team needs a representative? Do you think that's what's going to happen to him?
You know, so two starting pitchers from the same rotation on a team that already has another guy and possibly Schwarber, it becomes a little bit of a challenge. So is he deserving? Most definitely. And could he get added if guys can't be there? For sure. But we'll have to wait and see tonight and see if Nola is. But, you know, you can make an argument for Sir Anthony Dominguez to be getting some votes.
I had him on that run sheet at first, too. Yeah.
Yeah. But certainly, I think it's going to be hard to keep Schwarber off the team. He leads the National League in home runs by a wide margin. You know, everybody has seen what he's done over the month of June.
RBI,
July,
runs scored, slugging percentage. So,
I think he gets in, and I think the Phils have three representatives at least after tonight. And then, you know, we'll see who comes and who doesn't come and what happens after that.
Yeah, I'm thinking next week on next week's show too, Murph, we're going to have a little bit of fun with the All-Star game, because we're not going to have anything really to preview for the following week except for the following week's series against the Cubs. But, you know, so we'll dive a little bit more into the All-Star game on next week's show. But this team currently as constructed right now, and these are just some of the numbers here, Murph, about this team. Fifth in Major League Baseball in runs scored behind only the Yankees, Dodgers, Braves, and Mets. I think those are some good teams right there. Eighth in Major League Baseball in pitching staff ERA, sixth in baseball in run differential. This team right now, they're up with some of the best teams in baseball as far as the statistics are concerned. They're playoff contenders, and obviously if the season ended today, they're in the playoffs, thankfully, for that final wild card spot that was added in the collective bargaining agreement this offseason. But listen, I'm a greedy guy, and you know it's been 11 years since we've made the playoffs, and I'm looking to do some damage when we get there, Murph. That's what I'm looking at right now. And
yeah, there's no reason they can't.
Right. So what are they going to need to separate themselves from the pack and perhaps become legitimate threats in the National League for the National League pennant? When you're thinking ahead here over these next few weeks, and I know we kind of dived into a little bit last week, but man, like, this bullpen is strong, Murph. They've come to play, and we're going to get some injury updates coming from you, within the next few minutes. But I look at this team right now, and these are the two things that I look at for this team to really push them over the top and put them up there in that threshold. Starting pitcher, if you get another starting pitcher to go along with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler, and listen, Gibson pitched really well yesterday, and Ranger Suarez pitched really well last year, and you know Zach Eflin has pitched well in spots. But man, like, could you imagine these two with another, not in the same pantheon, the same, you know, like what those two are this year? But if you can get another starter, you make that three game series in the first round and that five game series, you have three studs at the top of your rotation. I need another starting pitcher for sure. I wouldn't touch the bullpen right now, and knowing that Harper and Segura are going to be back soon. Center fielder, though. I need a legitimate center fielder. Odubel Herrera, we would have been 6-0 this week if it wasn't for that play out in center field, and I know it was a difficult-looking play, but any routine center fielder can make that play. And I like Matt Vierling. I really do.
I'll disagree with that. The only reason I disagree with you, I'm not saying that the Phillies shouldn't be looking for an everyday center fielder if they can find one, but it has to be a serious upgrade over what they have. That's probably not a huge stretch, right? They haven't got a ton of production out of center field. But in terms of that play, I've talked so much about that Odubel play. And I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you the opinion of guys that have played the game and are retired and have no reason to you know, protect Odubel Herrera. They said, you know, 2 out of 10 times a center fielder makes that play. So, you know, and Rob Thompson said the same thing. That ball, if you watch it, that ball cut about 20 feet while he was running back to a spot. And by the time he got back there, it was – so do you want your center fielder to make that play? Absolutely. Are there a couple center fielders in baseball that make that play? Probably. But do most center fielders make that play at that particular moment? No. And well, at least according to guys that have played the game, and that's whose opinion I listen to. They know a hell of a lot more than I do. So Chad Durbin said it immediately on the air. That would have been a really tough catch for Odubel. So, again, everybody loves to kick Odubel, and I get it. He does, you know, he set himself up for that with his personal issues. So I have no problem with that, but I just think it's unfair to say that he should have made that catch. I think the catch probability is probably about 25%, which is one in every four times everybody, you know, someone catches that ball. So. Just a thought. I've been talking about it all week, and I'm getting tired of talking about it. But those are the thoughts of major league ball players, and you know, I go with that.
Okay, not a problem with that. And listen, I don't want to try and stoke the fire with you there, Murph. I didn't know you were talking about it all week.
Why not?
I thought you were. Well, you know, I thought you were just waiting to talk to me about it on Sunday morning.
Well. Well, I just I put it all to bed just right then and there here on baseball brunch. So. But getting back to your original thought, sure. I think a center fielder, you know, a center fielder, a leadoff guy, you know, a real.
So you can move Schwarber down in the lineup.
I think if you enter into that scenario where you've got a speedster at the top of the lineup, a guy that gets on base, you know, a prototypical leadoff guy. Yeah, at that point, I would move Schwarber, and I think he'd be fine. I wouldn't mess with Schwarber right now because you really don't have a better option. So, but if you find a better option. Then, yeah, I think I would move him at that point. So center field for sure. It would be great to add another starting pitcher. But I wonder at what cost. So I would just be a little careful with that because, excuse me, I do think you can get through the postseason with the guys you have. Now, would it be a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit harder for sure? You know, if you're going to go out and get a stud, you know, can't argue with that, but that's going to cost you. And so I think it's a balance between the future and what you have right now.
Now, I want to get into some of the injuries that the Phillies have had and players that we're looking to get back. But talking to a buddy of mine this morning, and I didn't add this on the run sheet because I did this last night, but Bryce Harper. So we all know, obviously, Bryce is going to be out for a while. But what we were expecting, if Bryce wasn't out injured with the left thumb, we were expecting to get an update over the next couple weeks about how things are progressing and how things are healing within his right elbow after getting that shot for the platelets. Is this something that we're still looking at getting an update of over the next couple weeks, Murph, about his elbow that you know, hey, it's healing properly and there's a legit chance that when he does come back to the Phillies that he will be able to play the field again? Or is this something that we're not going to find out until we actually have a firm timetable about him coming back to the Phillies after his thumb injury? Are we going to get the one update before the other, or are we going to get both updates at the same time?
It's more the latter. There will be no update on the elbow until he is able to throw and catch. So he can't put a glove on yet, so therefore he can't throw and catch. And until he can do that, they've said no. He's shut down, not doing anything, allowing it to heal as best they can. I mean, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, right? You know, he's hurt, he's out, and that's disappointing, but it's also giving him complete rest of the elbow, which might really help him get back on the field as a defensive player by the end of the season. But that remains to be seen. But no, we will not get an update on Bryce Harper's elbow probably for another, I would say, 4 to 5 weeks, because he's going to get the pins out in about 2 weeks, and then he'll probably need another week of healing, maybe even a little bit longer, before he's even able to slide that glove on for the first time. So we're a ways away from that. You know, certainly nothing's going to change. So they're not in any rush to give updates on that either.
You know who should be in a rush? People that need to get their windows cleaned by Premier Window Cleaning, the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call, 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Phillies, get some more injury updates on some of the players that we're hoping to get back in the bullpen and on the bench. And we're going to have a little bit of laughs at our expense from our preseason predictions, sure to go wrong.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
All right, welcome back. Second segment here on this beautiful Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley. And when I say it's beautiful, like, it's my kind of weather. It's going to be mid-80s today. Perfect lawn mowing, scoop the dog poop weather for sure. See, Murph, you got yours in the first segment. I got mine in the second. So not a problem at all. But
that's right.
Hey, let's talk about the Ludlum Bar and Grill, because we're going to be there in a couple weeks. Saturday, July 23rd from noon to 1. Yours truly and Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy, we will be at the Ludlum Bar and Grill partying it up, doing Jello shots and doing a radio program. No, I don't know about Jello shots, but right after that too, Green Legion Radio from 1 to 3 with the regular cast of characters. Yours truly, Diaz, Super Sam Brady. We have Quimby going to be down there, and Eagles legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer. Make sure you guys check them out at ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com. Or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill / Hotel, your new oasis in Seattle City. All right, let's go ahead. Let's talk a little bit more here. I want some injury updates here because, you know, I love what I see out of the bullpen right now. It is looking really good. I mean, especially in the back end. Corey Knable, it was a little bit interesting in the ninth inning on Saturday for sure. A lot of that wasn't his fault. I mean, Boehm had some really good plays over at third base. He has really improved since his early season struggles. That pick that he had on Arenado in his first at bat, what a phenomenal play. I know Arenado was frustrated and ticked off, but for Knable to get out of that, and I'm saying to my wife, I'm like, first and third, nobody out. Let's just play for extras. Let the run score.
That's what everyone was saying.
Yeah. And, you know, you have Arenado at the plate, who snake bit a couple times. That curveball, and that was a great at-bat, Arenado and Knable. What a battle between those two. That curveball, I know I've talked about it quite a few times on this show. That was Wainwright Beltran-esque, the way he buckled Arenado's knees, Murph. I know you were there. And you could just tell the frustration in Arenado when he looked out to Knable. He was like, well played, because that pitch was perfect. I was saying up and in fastball, try and raise his eye levels a little bit there, but dropping that curveball was the perfect pitch at the perfect time.
Yeah, so we asked him right after the game. He was our post-game guest, and we asked him, you know, how that decision was made. It was interesting what he said, because Chad Durbin had said right before that pitch, it doesn't matter if he throws the fastball or the curveball. It's all about where he throws it. So whatever pitch he feels most comfortable with at this moment, he should throw. He just has to locate, right? I mean, pretty common sense. So they asked him after the game, why curveball? And he said, well, at that moment, I was feeling really good. And he said, and if I was going to choose, I would have picked the curveball. He said, but I was going to throw whatever Stubbsy said for me to throw, and I was going to be convicted with it, and I was going to do it. And he said, and Stubbs put down the curveball, and he said, so it was just kind of validation with what he was thinking too, and he just felt super confident when he let that ball go. And it was one of the best curveballs he's thrown all year, and man, what a moment for sure. And then Bryson Stott just a heads up play on the ground ball, and then, you know, and then the fly out. So, yeah, I mean, those are moments that you remember. And, you know, the lead off walk, you don't like to see it, but he was able to get around it.
Yes, he was. So let's get into the injuries here. Connor Brogdon hasn't pitched since June 22nd. I know initially it was because he had COVID, and that was the list that he went on, but then he wound up on the 10-day IL. What's his issue, and when can we expect Connor Brogdon back?
No issue, really. Came back through a bullpen, Sunday. I think it was Friday, and just felt a little, you know, little tight, little, you know, just needed another day or two to get loose. So he's actually going to throw again today here, and, you know, make sure that he feels loose and ready to go. And if the answer to that is yes, he'll be back, I would imagine, you know, in Toronto. You know, I can't swear to that, but he'll throw again today. They just wanted to give him one extra day, just to be certain. I mean, he was on the shelf for a while, and you know, it's a difficult thing for these guys. You know, they're used to the repetition, their arms are used to that. So they're just being a little bit cautious. And quite frankly, the way the bullpen's rolling right now, they can right now. So there's no reason to rush him. But he's a couple days away at most at this point.
Sam Coonrod.
Coonrod is down making his rehab assignment in the Lehigh Valley. And from all accounts, throwing really well. So again, I would imagine pretty soon, if they feel the need to bring a guy up and add him into that bullpen mix, it's going to be Sam Coonrod. You know, I think we'll see Brogdon first because he's been doing it all year. But Coonrod at this point is healthy and just about ready to go. So, again, another really dynamic piece that they can add to the back end of this bullpen as they go down the home stretch.
Okay, Ranger Suarez and Zach Eflin.
So the update yesterday on both those guys was that they're both going to throw a bullpen today, and they are both out on the field right now and having a catch.
See, you don't get this anywhere else. You do not get this anywhere else but Bud Light Baseball Brunch. This is breaking news.
I wish you could see it, but there they are out there in left field right now. So they'll be jumping in the bullpen. Both are going to throw a full bullpen, and then both are going to be reevaluated, obviously. However, Rob Thompson said yesterday, as long as Ranger feels good, they anticipate he could make a start before the All-Star break. They have decided that regardless of how Zach feels, they're going to give him the extra week. And so he will not be back until after the All-Star game. But both guys up on the mound, both guys are feeling good. So that's good news. It's good news. And we might see Ranger before the All-Star break to start.
I wasn't expecting Nick Maton to be out this long with his shoulder strain. So what's going on with him? Update and Johan Camargo.
All right, so I'll give you Camargo first because he's real close. I would imagine we're going to see Camargo in Toronto as well. Been in the Lehigh Valley the last couple of days. He DH'd on Friday night, played 7 innings last night in the field. He's going to DH today, and he'll be reevaluated. They say he's moving well. I think I had a boatload of hits, I think, in the first two games. So swinging the bat well. I think we'll see Camargo in Toronto, if I had to bet. Nick Maton, I agree with you. I don't think anyone thought, you know, he would be out this long. Obviously, that shoulder issue after that spectacular catch that he made. He is down, also playing now full baseball activities. I don't believe he has officially started a rehab assignment yet, but I'd have to double check on that. But I think he's probably still, you know, a week or two away. So maybe after the All-Star break is when we see Nick Maton back to full baseball. Whether or not he is back here in the big leagues or, you know, he's depth down at AAA, I guess that remains to be seen. You know, there are only so many spots. And now that Didi's back and healthy. So we'll see. But that's the latest on Nick Maton as well.
You know, I like the fact that you keep on talking about guys that we might be able to see in Toronto, because some of the worry is the players that you might not be able to get to see in Toronto based on their vaccination status. And we don't want to get political here and talk about, you know, who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated. But there is some worry that some of these players aren't going to be able to play in that two-game set. And good thing is, it is a two-game set, and it's against an opponent in the other league. So it's not going to have anything to do with, like, a St. Louis where it could tie into a tiebreaker at the end of the year, but they did have to switch Wheeler and Gibson in the rotation so that way Wheeler pitches on Wednesday in Toronto. From what you're gathering,
I'm not sure that that's why they did that. that has not been verified that that's the reason.
I thought I saw a report that that's the reason why that they switched them up, because
it's true.
Because Gibson is not vaccinated, and Gibson wouldn't have been able to start in Toronto.
I have no idea if Kyle Gibson is vaccinated.
Well, he did. He did say he wasn't. It was something like some sort of thing that he had going on, or a sickness that he has. So he's not able to. And I think that's the reason why that they made that change. I also don't mind giving Gibson that extra day of rest after he got roughed up against the Cardinals the Saturday before. But is there any worry about some of the key players, the key cogs in this team, not being able to make that trip to Toronto for those 2 days? Or, you know, are we looking like we're going to have a majority of our roster with us?
Chris, I'm being 100% honest when I tell you I have zero idea. I couldn't tell you one guy. You told me about Kyle. I didn't know that. So I honestly don't know. And the Phillies have not announced it yet. I believe they'll probably announce it tomorrow. Who are the guys that are not going on the trip? I know there's been talk about it. I hear the same talk. I've seen reports that we have like 15 guys that aren't vaccinated. I don't think that's true. But again, I don't know. So I think from my standpoint, I never report anything that I don't have.
Absolutely.
So to be 100% transparent, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to it. It's not really something I'm overly concerned with, and I don't know. I'm curious to see, you know, what we have and what we don't have. But at this point, I have no insights whatsoever. I think we will know tomorrow, because I think the team's going to have to at that point. When we're leaving here in St. Louis, I think the team's going to have to, you know, kind of let everybody know who's going up there and who's just heading straight to Miami. But, you know, again, to your point, we're lucky in that two-game series, not a division series. You know, you think about the Yankees and the Orioles and the Red Sox. I mean,
right.
I know there are nine games. And I haven't paid attention to who's vaccinated on their teams either. I have no idea. But you know, if they had six or seven guys out, nine games is a lot. And you know, it's I guess it's an advantage for Toronto for sure. But for the Phillies, to me, it seems like they'll be okay, you know. But remains to be seen.
You know what else I'm curious about is, for people out there, if you could watch any movie for the first time over again, what movie would you pick? Make sure you get to our social media platforms. You can win two tickets, Phillies Braves, right after the All-Star break on Monday, July 25th. So make sure you guys get over to our social media platforms for that. And I know Murph is curious to know, what were your preseason predictions for the 2022 Major League Baseball season? Let's go ahead. It is the midway point of the season, the unofficial midway point. So let's talk a little bit about what we thought at the beginning of the season. So, and if we want to make any changes, now we're not going to make any changes, you know, legit, but like if you could go back and you say, man, I really screwed that up, would you say that? So right now, Murph, I will say this. You look great in the National League. Mets, Brewers, Padres are your division winners. And then you have the Phillies, the Dodgers, and the Braves in the wild card. You are 6-for-6 just based off of playoff teams. Your dark horse looks pretty good. They're in the race with the Marlins. Trey Turner is still upright and still playing, so he's going to be going down to the wire probably for that National League MVP. And National League Cy Young Scherzer, it's going to hurt you there that he missed a month. But you're looking good there.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take that for preseason predictions for sure.
Now, see, I am 5-6 on my teams. I have the Braves. Well, the Cardinals, but they're on the cusp. And I don't believe in the Brewers. I know they have good starting pitching, but their offense is atrocious. They cannot hit to save their lives. I think eventually at some point here, and the Cardinals are always have that deep farm system. They can bring up guys, young guys that can come up and play for them and help them down the stretch, or they can trade them away and bring in proven commodities that are going to help them. I think the Cardinals are going to take over the Brewers at some point this season, because the Brewers just simply cannot hit. So I have the Braves, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Padres. The Cardinals are the only team that's on the outside looking in, and I missed out in the Mets, but I'm glad I missed out in the Mets because I hate the Mets. And my National League dark horse was the Rockies. They're kind of lingering about a little bit. Harper and Walker Buehler both getting hurt doesn't help my case for either of those two, and especially my $50 that I placed on at the beginning of the season. But nonetheless, and then let's look over at your American League, which we both stink with the division winners. Both of us went Blue Jays, White Sox, Angels.
Yeah.
So we're wrong there. But your the wild cards, the Mariners are right there for you. And then the Yankees and the Astros. So, you know, you've got a couple, the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Astros are all in the playoffs. So you're 3-6. Tigers, they have one of the best bullpen ERAs in baseball. That was your dark horse. Trout is the MVP. He's there. Giolito's been disappointing. And I said this last night to Chad, my best friend, who went back and he listened to your picks. If the Phillies are going to play the Blue Jays in the World Series and beat the Blue Jays in the World Series, for love of God, let's get our vaccination status up. We don't have to worry about that once we get into October.
Might be a bigger story.
I think it would be. Yeah, I think it would be bigger than Matisse Thybulle with the Raptors back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then I'm the same thing with the division winners. Blue Jays, White Sox, Angels as you. Astros, Rays, and Mariners. So I'm 3-6, just like you. My dark horse is the Twins. I'm doing pretty well with that. I have Blue Jays over Dodgers as my World Series, which still can kind of happen, I guess. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., AL MVP. He's been disappointing from my standpoint. And then I had Shane Bieber as AL Cy Young. He's kind of lingering around. But then I had Verlander in there just in case. It was kind of like a backup pick.
Hey, Verlander, he might win it.
I'll tell you, Murph, like, I didn't have the Yankees in the playoffs. I didn't think their starting pitching was this good. I looked at their starting pitch at the beginning of the year. I knew they would hit. The Chapman was kind of falling apart in the ninth inning the last year or two in New York. That team, to me, I didn't see this coming. And they're right now, they're on a pace with that 1998 New York Yankee team as far as like record is concerned. That's a good team in New York, and I missed the boat on them. That's my fault.
Yeah, they are. And I don't think I thought they were going to be as good as they are either. Obviously, I didn't pick them to win the division. So, they've been terrific. They just hit, and their pitching has been good, but man, they just hit. And, more often than not, they outscore you. So, they're a good team. We'll see if they can keep it up. They probably can.
Well, I know for the unhappy Gilmore, I know what he's rooting for sure. He's rooting for the Yankees to stay this pace. But we'll see if they make any moves at the trade deadline. The trade deadline is going to tell us a lot about quite a few of these teams. Who's buying, who's selling, and who's really looking to get into this race. It's one of the best baseball races that we've had in quite some time. Because you can't really, like, as good as the Yankees have been, There is some legit competition. That division is tough, man. The Orioles have won 7 in a row, 42-44. There is not a pushover in that division anymore in the American League East. It is really tough out there.
Yeah, we'll see about the Orioles. I'm not sure that they can keep it up, but you're right. They played well. You know me and the Red Sox. I don't believe in them either. I still think when it's all said and done, it'll be the Yankees and the Rays or the Blue Jays, whoever gets hot out of those two teams, though. Remains to be seen.
Absolutely. What doesn't remain to be seen is the fact that there's no competition with the Green Legion at all when it comes to doing football road trips. This is the 20th year of the Green Legion. You need to make sure you hop in with us because nobody does it better. Destination Chicago, Arizona, Indy, Houston, all on the schedule. The bus trip down to see the commodes in Washington, D.C. and boo Carson Wentz, whatever you guys want to do. I won't. I'll cheer if I'm there. But we will be there for sure, and you guys don't want to travel with anybody else. Go to greenlegion.com or call the office at 215-666-5940 today. And then coming up in our last segment, we're going to give you our picks. Where are we at as far as the standings are concerned? Has Murph made a comeback? I believe he has. On 102.5, Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Segment here on this beautiful Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley. 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, Bud Light Baseball Brunch. I'm Chris Sack alongside Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. Let's give away these tickets, Murph. So if you could see any movie again for the very first time, as if you never saw it before, what movie would you choose to see? So without further ado, give you your top five and then I will give you the 10.
We got 10. Okay.
I have 10.
So you need to give you mine for top five first.
Yeah. Then right, let's see what falls in line with what you say.
All right. So the voting is closed.
Can't add anymore. We're done.
Right. I think I already mentioned American Pie for the reason that you mentioned Wedding Crashers. Just never laughed that hard in the theater before. And it was just a fun night. So I think back to that. I'd like to replay that. Sixth Sense is on my list for the exact same reasons you said. Never saw it coming. And I know a lot of people did. I'm a dope. I get it.
Yeah.
But I never saw that coming.
I'm a dope too. And
I'd like to rewatch it to see if I could see it coming the second time. Probably wouldn't, but that's me. All right. Third one, Saving Private Ryan. Just such a powerful movie. Saw that in the theater. You know, you couldn't help but be moved by that. And it's, you know, a great movie. So I put that on the list. My top two are Strange, and I have reasons, personal reasons for both. But E.T. is number two for me, and here's the reason. Obviously, I believe I was probably about 10 or 11, maybe I was a little bit older when that came out. And when E.T. came out, I mean, it blew you away. I mean, it was like nothing we'd ever seen before, and it was an amazing movie. And I was there with my mom and dad, and I just remember it vividly. Watching that movie and thinking this is incredible and this is awesome, and you know, so E.T. on my list. And then finally, most people probably don't even know this movie or have seen it. I'm sure you have not. There's a movie called Mr. Holland's Opus, and
my sister loved that movie when we were kids.
It is such an amazing movie, and it is such an inspiring movie. The main character, and I'm drawing a blank on the actor who's wildly famous, but he is a flawed character, but ultimately you just fall in love with him. He's a school teacher, a band, he teaches music.
Yeah, I remember the concept of it. Was deaf?
His son was deaf.
There you go.
Which was a source of embarrassment for him. So, you know, because here he is, this music teacher who thought he was going to be a great composer. Anyway, my father's a school teacher, and you watch the impact that teachers can have on Richard Dreyfuss. Thank you very much. Richard Dreyfuss was the star of that. And you watch the impact that teachers have. And I just remember being so moved by that and thinking about my father. And the movie's phenomenal. If you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. So that's my number one, Mr. Holland's Opus. I guarantee you no one put that. So.
Kenan Harmon cried at E.T., and Unhappy Gilmore, Adam, he said it was also the first movie he ever saw in the theater as well. So,
cool.
All right, so let's go to our 10 here, all right? Big Trouble in Little China, The Green Mile.
Oh, that was under consideration for me. Go ahead.
Psycho, The Godfather. Some of us need to see it for the first time. The Shawshank Redemption, Fight Club, Titanic, Harry Potter, The Sorcerer's Stone, Star Wars Episode 5, and The Game. Now, Episode 5 was, Empire Strikes Back. So I'm going to go with Empire Strikes Back because I said this to my wife this morning. I was giving her examples. A lot of people didn't know at the time that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father, and you find that out at the end of that movie. To me, that's one of the big cinematic moments in history. So I'm going to say Empire Strikes Back. I know you're not going to agree, so we're going to have to go to Slash for the tiebreaker.
We probably are. I saw the first three Star Wars when I was a kid. I haven't seen any since. And obviously, I remember Luke, I'm your father.
I like the prequels.
I haven't seen any of them. Just not my thing. But I understand the importance of that moment from a cinematic standpoint. And I think I agree with you. It's one of the biggest movie moments of all time. So I think your point is fair. That said, I think I would probably go with The Green Mile. It was under consideration for me. And it's just another movie that is pretty impactful and powerful. But that's me. I get if you go with the other one, Slash. Go ahead.
Break the tie.
So Green Mile or the Star Wars?
Empire Strikes Back.
You know how I feel about Star
That's
Wars.
That's fair.
Yeah,
Green Mile. I'm going Green Mile.
We're going Green Mile here. All right, so congratulations to whoever chose the Green Mile. You're an old soul there, Slash.
I am not a Star Wars guy at all.
No one ever agrees with me. But it's okay. It's not a problem. Keenan Harmon, who's winning the tickets again. Keenan, whether you use him or somebody else, just enjoy baseball. That's what I want you to enjoy. And it's good baseball because the Phillies are winning right now. So let's go ahead, Murph. Let's go ahead and let's get our picks in real quick. That way we can still cover, our can you believe it for sure. So right now we're both 14 and 16. We both have 19 total points. We are tied midway through the season. Let's break the tie today. Murph, give me your first pick.
All right, first pick. We were almost going to be joined by Tom McCarthy, who was going to come over here.
T-Mac!
Yeah, but he thought better of it when I glared at him. So
good friend of the program. Yeah, if we had more time, it would have been great, for sure.
Yes, but we do not. So
next week's show in Miami.
My underdog pick for the week, and I love this pick. I got the Phillies over the Cardinals today.
Bullpen game.
Nick Nelson's going to start for the Phillies. I think you get too solid from him, and then Christopher Sanchez, I think, it will be following him, and then you go from there. But the kid pitching for the Cardinals has really struggled as a starter.
Nope. Did we lose him?
There he is. Gorgeous day here at Busch Stadium. So Phillies are plus 105, so I'll take them as my underdog today and get the points on that.
All right, my favorite this week, I need to get back on track. Four straight weeks of 1-2. Astros minus 175 to win the series against the A's. Jake Odorizzi versus swerving Cole Irvin. I'm going with the Astros. Second pick, Murph.
All right, second pick. I got the Rays over the Reds at minus 155. Solid favorite. The Reds are who they are. I don't have any other reason other than the Rays are a better baseball team. They're in the Knicks. They got to go out and beat the Reds on a getaway day. So Rays over Reds minus 155.
I'm going to go with my underdog here then, because I'm taking the Reds plus 130 to finish the sweep of the Rays. They've won the first two games via balk off and walk off. Mortal Kombat, finish him. Reds today to finish the sweep of the Rays. Last pick.
All right, last pick. I got the under on Angels Orioles, 8.5. Again, getaway day. Two middle of the road pitchers, but I'm going 8.5 under. It seems like they're asking you to bet the over on that game, so I'm going under. Angels Orioles. There you go.
I'm going under as well. Under 9. Yankees Red Sox tonight on Sunday Night Baseball. Shocker that way. First three games have all gone over this number. 11 runs, 17, 11 runs. Tyone versus Nick Pivetta, I'm banking on you tonight, Nick. Give me the under 9 in that game. They can't score runs at a premium quite like this. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Two things that we found interesting from this past week in Major League Baseball. Murph, give me your first one.
All right. First one for me is a guy that we talk about a lot in this segment, Shohei Ohtani. You look at the numbers over his last four games. Well, since June 16th, it's 4-0 as a pitcher with an ERA of 0.00. So he hasn't allowed a run in any of those games.
Is that bad? It's not good.
Strikeouts, 40 strikeouts in those games. The opponent's OPS, 335. Oh, and also during those games, his OPS, 909.
Wow.
So I mean, again, it's hard to wrap your head around. But that's my can you believe it? And the answer to that is no, I can't believe it. He's amazing.
I'm going to stick with Shohei, too. The first player since RBI became official in 1920 to do all the following in a single game. 10 strikeouts as a pitcher, 2 RBIs as a batter, and a stolen base as a courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. Man is a machine. Give me your last one.
All right, last one real quick. The Yankees the other night. Think about how long the Yankees have been around, right? 16-0 victory, their largest shutout win since back in 1960. Versus Baltimore at that point. 16-0. Just the Yankees doing their thing. Would have been a boring game to watch, but whatever. Pretty impressive.
I guess you bet on the Pirates that day. This one's from Wednesday night, so the numbers might have changed since then. This is courtesy of Johnny Heller. Corey Seager, Chris Bryant, and Carlos Correa, who earned a combined $612 million in free agency this past offseason, have combined to hit 26 home runs this season. Kyle Schwarber, who the Phillies signed to a four-year, $79 million contract, has single-handedly out-homered that trio thus far this season. Insane to think about. So we got
can
a big.
I believe that? Yes, I can.
Yes, you can. But yeah, we got a big week coming up, Murph. Hey, we're finishing up this series not today, but tomorrow on Monday. Two in Toronto, day off on Thursday, and then we finish up before the All-Star break with three against the Fish. Big week on the road. We got to wrap it up. We got to look good going into the All-Star break. Maintain the momentum for sure.
Yeah, win at least one more here. Win at least one in Toronto, and then win two in. If you win two in Miami, with that. That would just be phenomenal. You'd be, 6-3 on the trip at that point, heading to the All-Star break. It would be great.
Absolutely. And, hey, make sure you guys stay here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler for The Divide live from noon to 1. They're coming right up right after we go off the air. And Balls, Bats, and Bets with TKO, my boy Timmy O'Keefe from 1 to 2, leading you right into Phillies baseball at 2:15 this afternoon Eastern time. And this for Bud Light Baseball Brunch. I'm Chris Sack alongside Greg Murphy / Kyle the Gobbler Nunnemaker and Super Sam Brady in Seattle City. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Thank you all for tuning in as always. And we look forward to talking to you next Sunday. Murph from Miami and yours truly back again in studio. Have a great rest of your Sunday.